Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during February. Before we get started, I want to mention that a small bus-sized asteroid, known as 2012 DA14, will be paying planet Earth a visit, a close visit, this month. On the 15th, it'll zip by just 18,000 miles away. That's less than the distance to most weather and communication satellites. But don't worry. This particular space rock poses no danger to Earth. And despite being so close, you'll need a telescope and some very accurate star charts to spot it. So instead, let's turn to what else is going on skywise. For most of us, February will be the coldest month of the year. So when you're heading outside, make sure you're bundled up warmly. Don't forget your head and feet. Plan to stay out for at least a half an hour to give your eyes a chance to adapt to the darkness. Even after 10 minutes, you'll see far more stars than when you first stepped outside. The month begins with the moon nowhere in sight, at least in the evening. So let's start with the obvious. Almost immediately after sundown, you'll see a star-like beacon far above the southern horizon, so high up that it's almost overhead. That's the planet Jupiter. The king of planets doesn't have a solid surface. Instead, its gleam is due to sunlight reflecting off the dense, whitish clouds that envelop the entire planet. And this placement in the sky, so high up, makes it look all the more striking. Jupiter is about midway through a long evening run that began in early December. Back then, the planet was at opposition, that is, opposite the sun in the sky, and about as close to Earth as it can get. In the months since, Earth has wheeled around in its orbit, with Jupiter getting a little farther away from us and a little dimmer week by week. So the irony here is that while Jupiter is a snap to spot right now, it's only two-thirds as bright as it was a few months ago. A little to Jupiter's right, by about the width of your fist at arm's length, is a small cluster of stars called the Pleiades, or sometimes the Seven Sisters. Look carefully, and you might see six, seven, or even more stars, because these celestial damsels are accompanied by their parents, Atlas and Pleione. These stars all formed together about 100 million years ago, when dinosaurs were in their prime. This cluster is about twice the size of the full moon. You can cover it up with just your fingertip, and it looks terrific through binoculars or a small telescope. Just a bit to Jupiter's left is the bright star Aldebaran, marking the angry eye of Taurus the Bull. Aldebaran gleams with less than one-tenth of Jupiter's brilliance, and it has a slightly warm hue. It's classified as an orange giant star, more than 40 times the Sun's diameter, and at a relatively close 65 light-years away. In other words, the light you're seeing now left Aldebaran in 1948, when big band music was in its prime. By the way, the name Aldebaran translates from Arabic as the follower, presumably because it appears to follow the Pleiades across the sky. This month, new moon falls on February 10th, and you can start watching for a beautiful crescent low in the west after sunset two nights later. The moon moves farther up and left, night by night, gradually fattening to its first quarter phase when it appears just to the right of Jupiter on the 17th and just to Jupiter's left on the 18th. By the way, it's called first quarter not because we see only 25% of the lunar surface, though technically that's true, but because the moon has gone one quarter of the way around its orbit since new moon. And after it's gone yet another quarter of the way around, on the 25th, it'll appear to be a complete circle, called the full snow moon. This will be a good month to try to spot the elusive planet Mercury. Look for it beginning about the 9th or 10th over in the west as twilight darkens. Watch where the sun sets, then look just above that spot about 45 minutes later. Mercury should be easiest to spot on the 16th, when it's at what astronomers call its greatest elongation from the Sun. Now let's do a little star hopping. Turn all the way around in the direction opposite of sunset. As darkness falls, the magnificent hunter Orion is already striding up in the eastern sky, and by 10 p.m. he's taken a commanding position up in the south. Look for his distinctive belt, a trio of stars that make a diagonal row. To the belt's upper left is Betelgeuse, the red giant star that marks the hunter's shoulder or armpit. To the belt's lower right, marking his upraised knee, is the blue-white diamond called Rigel. Can you detect a subtle color difference between these two? You see, stars have slightly different hues. Our eyes aren't very good at picking out color at night, but those color differences are real, and they tell us how hot the stars are. For example, our sun is a slightly yellowish star with a surface temperature of about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. But other stars are both hotter and cooler. Now take another look at Betelgeuse. You can probably detect a warm reddish tinge in its light. We associate red with hot, but in this case, red means less hot, at least compared to our sun, because Betelgeuse is only about 6,000 degrees. It's a different story with Rigel at the opposite corner of Orion. In this case, its blue-white color is letting us know that the surface temperature is a searing 20,000 degrees. Deep inside this star, nuclear fusion is converting hydrogen to helium at such a furious pace that it outshines our sun by more than 60,000 times. But there's a price to pay. Such stars live fast and die young. Rigel is destined to explode spectacularly as a supernova in just a few million years. Kapow! To Orion's lower left, close to his back heel, is the constellation Canis Major, the big dog, and its signature star, Sirius. In fact, Sirius is often called the dog star. Now go back to the belt and slide your gaze to the left by about 3 fists, and you'll come to the star Procyon in Canis Minor, the little dog. These two constellations faithfully follow the hunter across the sky throughout the night, ready to snatch up his prey. Betelgeuse, Sirius, and Procyon form a beautiful equilateral triangle in the sky, known to stargazers as the Winter Triangle. Other than Jupiter and Mercury, the planetary pickings are pretty slim these February evenings. Technically, Mars is hovering over in the west at sunset, but it's completely lost in the glow of twilight. However, if you're a night owl, you can catch sight of Saturn in the hours after midnight. Look for a big, pointy triangle of stars. At its tip, toward upper left, is the bright star Arcturus. To its lower right, by about 3 fists, are the icy white stars Spica, and below that, by about 1 fist, Saturn. The ring planet might be hard to spot now, but in the months ahead, it will glide steadily westward and become much easier to view after sunset. If you want more sky-watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Next month, I'll explain what the dog star of winter has to do with the dog days of summer. Until then, I wish you clear skies.